So, Parshas Vayetze. And the Morinayim, there are 3 points in the Morinayim. The first point is, Morinayim explains what it means that Yaakov was Nitman in base Shem Ve'ever. Yaakov was hidden. Nitman is more than hidden, he was like concealed, he was like dug in. He was totally covered up in the yeshiva for 14 years and then he leaves. What does it mean? It doesn't say he was learning. Nitman is more than just hiding from Esav. Nitman means he was like literally like dug in over there, concealed. He says because, amazing thing, that Yaakov, according to the Zohar, is a sort of a flip side of Moshe Rabbeinu. Both of them represent the das of Torah, the intellect of Torah. But Moshe was the external Torah, the exposed Torah, and Yaakov was the concealed Torah. Moshe is bepnimius, and Yaakov is in chitzonius. And Yaakov is in helam. He's in the Torah that's covered up. And there are many shrashi Torah. There are roots of Torah that were hidden originally, and it was Yaakov's destiny to uncover the roots of the Torah. The thrust of the Morinayim is that without the Avos doing the preliminary work, we never could have gotten the Torah. Don't think that Kabbalah's Torah started in Har Sinai. The process of Torah, of the transmission of Torah, really started much earlier. It started in the time of the Avos. And the one who made the most major strides in bringing the Torah, which is hidden in heaven, the roots are in heaven, to bring it down to earth, was Yaakov Avinu. No one came close to Yaakov Avinu. That's what the name of the, and then, and not only, he started the process in the 14 years that he was in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, from the age of 63 to the age of 77. The process continued during the 20 years he was in Laban's house. So it looks like he's in Laban's house, it's a nice love story, loves Rachel, gets Leah, works for 14 years, then works another 6 years. Looks like a story with sheep, a sheep and a shepherd, bad father-in-law, classical story, bad guy, good guy, good guy wins. No, Chas v'Shalom, says the Morinayim. There's so much more. Yaakov Avinu knew the Shrashi HaTorah. This idea is brought down in the Nefesh HaChaim. The great classic, the Yeshiva classic, Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that Yaakov could not get, the Torah could not be given at Sinai in the time of Yaakov. Because then Yaakov couldn't do what he's doing. Yaakov went to the roots of the Torah, the source of the Torah, and according to the sources of Torah, he saw the sources of the souls of the people he came in contact with, and he knew that according to the sources of the souls, Rachel and Leah, although they were two sisters, were the perfect match for him. And he had to marry them. Had the Torah been given in its open form, then Yaakov couldn't have married them, because the Torah prohibits the marriage of two sisters. But Yaakov Avinu was going to the source of the Torah, the highest level in Shemayim, and bringing it down to earth. And based on those sources, the pre-Sinaitic Torah, he knew the perfect match for him is Dafka, Rachel, and Leah. And he was Megala those sources in the 20 years he was by Lavan. Now again, this is a very deep concept. It's hard to understand. And Lavan himself had a lot of Torah hidden inside of him. And the word love means to clean and to whiten. And like, there were a lot of things shrouded in darkness. And Yaakov Avinu brought them out to light in the 20 years he was in Laban's house. So, that's what he says later on in next week's parasha, Vayishlach, he says, in Lavan garti v'eichar adato. I was living with Lavan and I delayed until ato, until now. Whenever it says the word atah, now, that refers to the Torah. The Torah is atah. But it says later on in the Torah, v'atah kisu l'chem as ashir azos. And now, write down this song, which is we at the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah from. Vata now is Torah. Torah is for the here and now. Torah is not something in the past or something in the future. Some people think Torah, I'm studying stories of the past, or maybe Torah, I'm studying about what's going to be in the future of the Jewish people. Not true. The Torah is for now. Every second the Torah is being renewed. The Torah is like being given from afresh every minute. And what you need to know now, you have the Torah right now. If you're hearing the Shir right now, it must be that you need to hear it right now. The Torah is not a preparation for the future. And the Torah is not a remembrance of the past. The Torah is now, Ata. And Ve'echarat Ata means Yaakov said, I was in love and garti. I was living with love and Ve'echarat Ata. I've tarried until I got, because I'm bringing the world to the now. I have to bring the world to the here and now, where it's supposed to be. Torah is what keeps us up to date. The Torah is changing every minute. In other words, the Torah is being retransmitted every second. And Yaakov brought us up to date. Again, these words we can say, it's not so easy to really comprehend them. And he says that the name Yaakov, the letters can be transposed, they can be reassembled, to read the word Yibaka. Yud Ayin Kuv Beis, Yaakov, is the same letters as Yibaka, which means to break open. Yaakov saw the darkness up, he saw the Torah at its roots. The Torah had not yet, like the world wasn't open up for the Torah yet. The world wasn't ready for the Torah. Yaakov broke open the pathways to this world so that the roots could grow and spread. Torah is like an upside down inverted tree. A tree in this world has roots in the earth and grows heavenward. The Torah is the opposite. Its roots are in heaven and it grows downward, earthward. It's a different thing. The Torah in this world grows from heaven down to earth. The roots are in heaven, the branches are down on earth. Now the branches spread out a lot. By the time the Torah gets down here, we just see it in a spread out general form. It's spread. And it's in the Alma de Piruda. This world is called the world of separation, the world of division, the world of fragmentation. And in heaven is the world of Achdus, it's one. At the source, everything is one. You have the source of a river. At the source, it's just one spring. It can divide into seven different streams and rivulets and little creeks and brooks. Was there the creek and the brook? I don't know, but little streams, creeks, and a brook is faster. Oh, really? You sure about that? It's a rivulet. There's all kinds of different words for water streams. What's a stream? What's there? Is a stream and a brook and a creek and a meandering what? Anyway, the point is you can have one source, and from one source can come creeks, rivers, rivulets, streams, big rivers, brooks, whatever you want, torrents, white water, whatever you like. So, this world is called the world of separation, the Alma de Peruda. He says, that's the secret why Yaakov Avinu originally takes the 12 stones and puts under his head, this week's parsha, and they become voila, they become one. You know why? I teach you that everything you see in this world that's separate, really at the source is one. The 12 stones represent this world of breakdown. And it was Yaakov's job is to bring everything back to its roots, back to its source, and at the source it's one. That's why under his head, the 12 stones became one. That's what Yaakov does. He brings the things back up to their roots and to its source. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Sha'akol Nieves Ro.
What's the Hebrew word for break open?
Yibaka. Yibaka. It's to break open. That's the letters of Yaakov. He was breaking the light. And he was fragmenting the light. The light of the source is just one luminescent ball. He went to the source, broke open the pathway to get to this world. And this world is made pathways. So now it's separated. But at the other end, so Yaakov took what was one and made it separate. And then he took what was separate and made it back into one. Because in other words, the lines of communication between the source and the radiation, the source and the spread, Yaakov was totally fluent and totally at home in source and spread and spread and back to source. That was Yaakov's charm. And therefore, the 12 stones were fighting amongst themselves, and they were saying, Elijah near Tzadik Rosho. Everybody wanted that his head should be on them. Because Yaakov represents Das. Because every one of them wanted to go back to the source. Yaakov knew how to trace the fragments back to their original one unified, bonded source. So therefore every stone said, I want the Tzadik to lay his head on me. Meaning to say, I want to apply his brains to me. I want to apply his wisdom to me. That he should bring me back to be one, and it shouldn't be a broken shard anymore, a broken fragment. I want to be part of something whole. And eventually, the Taka merged under his head, under Yaakov's guidance, they all merged into one big rock. They went back to the source. Fascinating. And he explains many, many things. And he explains this is the idea that the Avos dug all these wells, and the wells are spreading, and they dug wells, and they dug springs, and they dug fountains, because again, they were bringing everything back into the source. And they were bringing the Torah down to this world. And he says these words, Ilulei Ha'avos, Lo Ye'efshel Ha'asik Shum Ha'asaga L'Skayav L'Hashem Yisbarach. If not for the Avos, there would be a mechitza, there would be an absolute curtain, an absolute wall, between this lowly world and the higher world, the sources. It was the Avos who broke open this mechitza and didn't let it interfere. Without them, there could not be any Torah. Torah is the merger of this world and the higher world. This world and the next world. Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Eretz and Shemaya. The mixture between the letter Hey, with which this world was created, and the letter Yud, with which Olam Haba is created, and you have Yud and Hey together. So, without the Avos, there would be a barrier between these two worlds. These worlds are so different, they're diametrically opposite. It was the Avos, and particularly Yaakov, Yibaka, that Yaakov he broke open the barriers. And the source and the spread, he put together. And he also put together Torah Miksav and Torah Baal Peh, because it says in the Zohar that Leah, you tell me which one you think is which. One of the Leah and Rachel, one of them represents Torah Shmiksav, and one represents Torah Shbal Peh. Which is which? One represents the oral law, one represents the written law. Which one would you say is which? Leah. Is Leah Torah Shmiksav or Torah Shbal Peh? You have to explain yourself. Why? Why in the world would Leah be more Torah Shmiksav and Rachel? It's Torah Shebal Peh. So the fact of the matter is, what? Torah Shebiksav. So he married Leah first. So, what? Fine, so? So what's Leah have to do with that?
He ended up marrying her first.
So he's saying he married Leah first because Lord, the Leah presents the foundation, and the foundation is Torah Shebiksav. And Rachel, who he really loved, which is the expansion and the so that's Rachel's Torah Shebal Peh, which is the explanation and the illumination and the elaboration of the Torah Shebiksav. And that is correct. That is true. Leah is so Torah Shebiksav, and Rachel Torah Shebal Peh. And by working for Rachel and Leah all those years, he actually was Megal the Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. So you think there's just a nice little story. The story of Yaakov, who's a man who was fooled and he was betrayed. By Lavan. No, it's much deeper, says the Moranayim. The story of Yaakov working in Lavan's house is the story of a man bringing down Torah to this world. By marrying Leah, he brought down Torah Shebiksav. By marrying Rachel, he brought down Torah Shebal Peh. They were concepts. They weren't just wives, they were concepts. So that's why he loved Rachel more, because Torah Shebal Peh is really the main Torah. The main Torah is Torah Shebal Peh. But of course, you can't have Torah Shebal Peh without Torah Shebiksav. So therefore, Lavan says to them, no, they can't do that in our place. We don't do that in our place. Don't try to learn Gemara before you learn Chumash. That's crazy. A lot of people do that. They don't want to do that. First, you have to learn the Chumash. And you learn the Tanakh. And then, the Navi, and Ksuvim. And then you learn Gemara and Mishnayos. You have to have the Ksav before Shebal Peh. But he loved the Baal Peh. Everyone loves the Baal Peh. So everyone does it in that way. Everyone's learning Mishnayos and Gemara and Medrash and Zohar and Morinayim, all these esoteric things. They don't even know a Pasuk Chumash straight. They don't even know, if I ask you, is Ezra and Nehemiah, is it Nevi'im or Ksuvim? You wouldn't know the answer to me. Is Ezra Nevi'im or is Ezra Ksuvim? Who's Nevi'im? Who's Ksuvim anyway? Is Daniel Nevi'im or Daniel Ksuvim? Book of Daniel, where is it? What? Is it Nevi'im or Ksuvim? Nobody knows anything in Tanakh. Lamaisi had the Torah Shviksav, but he had the Torah Shviksav and the Torah Shbalpeh. What's more precious? Like Moshe Fein says, really sure you should support a kolel before you support a cheder. Because the kolel is much more precious. On the other hand, you can't have a kolel without a cheder. So you have to support cheder too. So it's like mathematics and arithmetic. Mathematics is, if those who like mathematics, is much more exciting. Calculus is exciting. 1 and 1 is 2 is not very exciting. But you can't do calculus thinking that 1 and 1 is 2. So you have to basic arithmetic before you do mathematics. So you have to Torah Shviksav and Torah Shbalpeh. Now, so this is the aside of the Morinayim. That's the pshat, what it says, by Yaakov, by Yishkav, by Mokam Ahu. By Yishkav means the Yesh Chavbeis. The letter by Yishkav can be read the Yesh Chavbeis. He says, I see that there are the 22 letters of the Torah over here. I see there's a Mokam Torah. He was actually sleeping on the Harabayas, where the Beis HaMishri would be built. And that's where the Aron would be, with the Torah. By Yishkav, Yesh Chavbeis, by Mokam Azeh. There's 22 letters of the Torah here. And again, like the Morinayim said, for those who came late, that the stones, the 12 stones represent that this world is a world of separation, a world of breakdown, of fragmentation. But Yaakov put the 12 stones under his head, and the 12 stones became one, because Yaakov had the ability to bring everything back to the source, and at the source everything is one. In this world is the Alma, the Piruda, everything is separate and broken down. At the source, everything is one and unified, total unity. Yaakov, with his head, with his das, He merged together, bonded together, fused together all these disparate stones and made them into one. This idea that everything starts from heaven and comes down slowly down to earth, and you need people to bring it down to earth, this idea is very elaborated on in the Kedushas Levi, in the Kedusha of Chanukah. Such an awesome word. It's a meridic of art in the Kedushas Levi. And here's what the Kedushas Levi says, and it parallels what we just said in the Morinayim. The Kedush Levi has a question. How come, you know, the Kedush Levi has a classic, he has the Kedushas. He has a whole essay on Purim, and he has a whole essay on Chanukah. The Purim is a bit longer, but they're both classics. And in the Kedushas of Chanukah, he asks a very basic question. We have two holidays with Rabbanan, Purim and Chanukah, and yet Purim, there's a Megillah. There's a new addition to Torah. From Purim came out a new book, a new Sefer in the 24 books of the Tanakh, Megillah's Esther. How come there's no Megillah for Chanukah? There's a Megillah's Antiochus, there's a Megillah's Yehudis or something, but that's Apocrypha. That's called Svarim Chitzonim. Some say you shouldn't even read these things. You can be a very good Jew and never even look at those books. It's a history book. There's nothing sacred about it. It's not scripture. So how come there is a Megillah for Purim and there's no Megillah for Chanukah? Pretty basic question. What do you say? Why is there a Megillah for Purim and not a Megillah for Chanukah? He says, a gewaltig yisrael, this is Taka Chiddush. He says, because in order to become Torah, Torah is natural. Torah evolves on its own, without the help of man. Torah evolves on its own. Hashem made the world based on Torah. The whole nature is based on Torah. Nature is Torah. So, if we'd have patience, we would know that you don't have to do a thing and everything will happen. It's already programmed in the Torah, whatever's going to happen in your life. And you can't, and the person who's truly a Torah person just waits for the Torah to reveal itself and to develop and to just arrive at this world. This lower world is just part of the huge universe. The whole universe is created by the 22 letters of the Torah, and the Torah is revealing itself when the right time comes. So on Purim, he says, Mordechai and Esther did absolutely nothing. They did nothing. Esther didn't even ask Ahasuerus to save nothing. Only at the last moment, it was Pekuch Nefesh, she asked him for something. Esther went kicking and screaming. She didn't want to go to Ahasuerus. She had to be dragged. Mordechai is the most amazing story, because Mordechai doesn't do anything to help himself. He doesn't ingratiate himself to Haman. And like that, why didn't Mordechai, when he hears the Gzeira, this is what I'm just adding, when he hears the Gzeira to kill the Jews, he should have ran to Ahasuerus and said, "Hello, you owe me a favor big time. Remember I saved your life?" Mordechai never cashed in on the favor. Isn't that amazing? Because Mordechai has to do those kind of things. Mordechai has to don't do anything. It's Gvaldik Akasha. Why did we have to wait? For Balaila hu nadadosh nasamelech. That night the king doesn't sleep. He asks them to read the book of memoirs. And they read them that Mordechai did him saved his life and nothing was done for him. Why didn't Mordechai himself bring it up? Today everybody running right away. "Hello, you owe me a favor. I saved your life. You're going to kill me now?" Not Mordechai. And that's why, because Mordechai and Esther did nothing, there was zochet to have a new book in the Torah. Because really, the Ben Torah does nothing. You hear? Ol Olama, everything is a shlichus of the Baal Shem Tov. He says, "Leinase neis megillah v'toira mineis chashmonai." Torah means that the whole world was created for one purpose, to serve Klal Yisrael, to serve those who live according to Torah. And if you live according to Torah, God will send you whatever you need. It's awesome. And Mordechai and Esther lived according to the Torah. And they had nothing to worry about. They weren't going to do anything. It came to them. And that's why, since they did nothing, they didn't fight against Haman, they didn't fight against Ahasuerus, and they didn't do anything to help themselves. So the world, God made the whole world their shliach, and made all kinds of things happen. The king shouldn't sleep, and they should read exactly that in the Sefer Zichronos, and all kinds of other circumstances, and all kinds of coincidences happen. Didn't happen. Hashem made it happen. Because they did nothing. When man makes nothing happen, God makes everything happen. That's Torah. That's why a new book of Torah was written from the story of Esther. But in Hanukkah, they did lots of stuff. They fought big battles. Fine. They had miracles. But they did not wait for God to send their salvation. Torah means whatever is coming to you, God will send on His own. It's here. It's programmed into the Bria. Because the Torah is the program of the Bria. You're a Torah person, God will take care of you. It has to be. And God will send whatever is necessary. Merdik of arts. It's a merdik of arts. You hear? It's really a big chiddush. When we do the ratzon, he says, "L'chein ha'manachnu oisim ratzayin ha'shlamakim baruch hu, azai kol ha'lama is malayin kol tuv, shefa v'sasa v'simcha, kol ha'lama is afilo ha'lama tachtan shu ha'lama teva oisim shlicha shalama b'nei Yisrael." Because the mitzvahs and the ma'is and tovim and the burim of different tovim in Israel, they're the chiyus of all the lamas. And therefore, even the lower world, the whole nature is forced to become messengers and agents of God to save Klal Yisrael. So, you have to wait. You have to have patience. They went too far. They did it on their own. So, Yaakov Avinu Vaistais, but I'm obsessed to just make this dovetail into the words of the Moranayim, this Hanhaga, this divine way of treating us, I believe, only began with Yaakov Avinu. Because this idea that the Torah is hooked up to this world is hooked up to the Torah, and the whole world runs according to the Torah, this started with Yaakov Avinu. He was Vayibaka. Yaakov opened up the pathways and the streams, and therefore Yaakov is called Torah. Yaakov is called Emes, he's called Torah. And the 14 years of Yishayim Ve'ever, he was learning Torah. And the 20 years by Lavan, all these things, says the Moranayim, he was bringing the Torah down to earth. Had Yaakov not done this, the Torah would be out of this world. The Shluchim couldn't get through. The world wasn't ready to accept the shlichas of Torah yet. And Yaakov brought Torah into this world, and then made a few generations later, the full Torah was given at Sinai. But if Yaakov had not connected this world to its roots, the Torah could not have been given. That's the Moreh Na'im saying. So there is a both Divrei Torah of the Yishuv Levi, the Moreh Na'im, each one helps you understand the other one a little bit better. So that's one piece of Torah of the Moreh Na'im. Another. I'll tell you one last thing. I have to go, so I can't be. Parshas Vayetze is packed. Parshas Vayetze is packed. It's a murder Gemara Na'im. It's many, many, many. But I will just tell you the last one here that's my favorite, and that you've heard in the past, that's worthwhile repeating, and that is the Moreh Na'im on this week's Parsha, which is, to me, one of the biggest yesodos of the Moreh Na'im. And that's what the Moreh Na'im says. State in Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Vayisa Yaakov Ragla Vayelech Arta Bnei Kedem. Yaakov lift up his feet after the encounter that night when he sleeps on the rock and all the rocks become one rock and he sees the ladder and the angels are going up and down the Shemayim. Next morning, Vayisa Yaakov Israelov, Yaakov lifts up his feet, Vayelichatz of Nekedem, he goes to the place of Nekedem, says Rashi, Mishnez Basa Besura Toiva, Shehuftach Beshmira, Nasa Liba Yisraglav, Nasa Kala Lechas. When he was given the announcement, a good announcement, that Hashem promises to be with him, Hashem promised to protect him from Esav and from Lavan. Nasa Liba Yisraglav, his heart lifted up his feet, the Nasa Kala Lechas, became easier to walk. That's Oishtein Bnei Brava. Says the Moreh Na'im, what does it mean, Mishnez Basa to Yaakov? When Yaakov, it was announced to Yaakov, says the Moreh Na'im, one of his biggest chedushim, that this announcement was made by Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi is the great announcer. You'll ask, Eliyahu Navi wasn't born for another 1,000 years. He wasn't even in the world yet. How could be Eliyahu Navi? So the Moreh Na'im is mechadish that there is a concept called Eliyahu Navi, which was programmed in the Sheishes and Mebereishes. Ki yesh b'chinah zu b'chol adam, Yisrael b'chol zman. Every Jew, in all places, all times, you have Gil Eliyahu. You don't have to be this world's tzaddik to have Gil Eliyahu. I've had Gil Eliyahu many times. To have Gil Eliyahu that we talk about tzaddikim for, that's like, I guess, a very, you would literally see a man, and Eliyahu comes in the guise of a human being. That's maybe a special thing. But just to have heavenly announcements, where from Shemayim, they announce to me things that are going to happen, or new ideas come to my head, that's basic. Says the Moreh Na'im, that's for every Jew. That's part of being Jewish. Part of being Jewish means that that God is connected with me all the time, and He's talking to me all the time. And every time I have a new idea, every day I'm making decisions. I have ideas, I have thoughts coming to my head. Where do all these good, great ideas come from? It's called Eliyahu Navi. And that was there even before Eliyahu was born. Eliyahu Navi in Tanakh, like, represents the ultimate, again, a human manifestation of this idea. But the idea that God is constantly talking to us, announcing things to us, telling us things, giving us confidence for the future, giving us insights, that's like basic faith in God. That God running our lives all the time and talking to us all the time. Isn't God talking to you all the time? He's talking to me all the time. That's why, I turn up the radio, you gotta listen to God. We have so much, if you don't feel God's talking to you, it's because you tuned him out. But he's there, he's talking all the time. And that is the Bechin of Eliyahu Navi. So that's the pshat. Rashi is Mishnah Spasa Besura Toiva. When Yaakov got the Besura from Eliyahu Navi, and he was promised that God would protect him and guard him, so his heart lifted his feet. Because we have two parts to ourselves, the good part and the bad part. The heart is the higher part, the feet are the lower part. The heart is what's alive and awake to the present. By the heart, everything is inspiring, is passionate. The regel, the feet, represents regilus. Regel means regilus, it means habitual, mechanical, routine. It's the opposite of the heart. The heart is fresh all the time. The heart keeps on pounding and banging every few seconds. The heart represents the heartbeat. It's new, it's exciting, it's full of life, it's pumping new fresh blood. That's the lave. The opposite lev is the regel, the foot. And the foot means Lashon Regilus. Regilus means common, humdrum, commonplace, routine, mechanical, habit forming, nothing exciting, just a habit. The opposite of excitement. It's an absolute habit and it doesn't have any excitement. So he says, when Yaakov, the purpose of the Eliyahu Navi dimension, that is the Besura Taiva telling us what's going to happen, good things are going to happen, is to pump our hearts with passion. And when the heart is elevated, then it lifts the feet, even though the feet usually drag. We talk about dragging feet, we don't talk about dragging hearts. When the heart is excited, then even though the feet are low and dragging and schwach and worn out and exhausted, the heart can lift up the legs and make you move someplace. But what made the heart excited was the Bechinah of the Navi. Ki Bechinah Zel Yavi Hu Misheshes Mei Bereshes Rakshin Islav Shachah Bepinchas Kenoida. The concept of this divine announcement and communication with us is from the beginning of creation, but it became embodied and personified by human beings when it first went into Pinchas HaKoyim, and Pinchas eventually evolves and is reincarnated somehow in the body of Eliyahu HaNavi, because Pinchas Eliyahu, and he says every. Doesn't say we're waiting for Eliyahu to tell us the Mashiach arrived. Saying Harachamon, Yishlaglon, there's Eliyahu Navi, right? The Yivasa Lona Besoyus Taivas, he tells good news. He's always telling us good news. Not in the future when Mashiach comes, right now. Yeshua's Nechamais, salvations and consolations and comfort. Doesn't say Harachim Yishlaglon, Eliyahu Navi, and Yivasa Lona Besoyus Mashiach. That would imply that Eliyahu Navi only has one great mission, to bring the Mashiach. No! Eliyahu Navi is constantly telling us good news. You have any good news today, Michal? Yeah, some good news today? Okay, that was Eliyahu Navi. And I'll conclude this with my favorite story from, I believe it was Yitzchak of Skver, the first Skver Rebbe, who is the grandson of the Moronayim. The Moronayim's son was, of course, the Magid, the Chernobyl of the Magid, Reb Mordechai. And Reb Mordechai had eight great sons, one of them being the first Skver Rebbe of Yitzchak of Skver. And the story goes that one hot summer day, Reb Yitzchak of Skver sent his grandson to outside in the street and said, go outside now, you'll have Gil Elio. Tell his grandson, go out now, you will have Gil Elio. So the kid runs out, and he's looking high and low for Elio. And he sees nobody there. It's a hot summer day. No one's outside. Everyone's taking a siesta. And all he sees is a bunch of horses tied up to the feeding trough. And the horses are waiting patiently for the master to come and feed them. Except for one horse that's whinnying and rearing up on its rear legs and making noise and screaming and getting very wild because he wants his food. So the little boy, when he sees this horse, he says to himself, that what a foolish horse. The horse has to realize that the master will come and feed him whenever he wants. When the master is good and ready, then he'll come and feed him. And the boy's thinking to himself the same thing with life. You can't, all your activities, all your hustling is not going to make you richer or poorer. The check in the mail is not going to go faster because you're looking every time in the mailbox. Our activities do not hasten our success. Just like this horse thinks by screaming and winning, it's not going to happen. The master's not here right now. He's not feeding yet. It's not lunchtime. He's wasting his time. So it's a we. We waste the time. We do a lot of effort. We put into things. Make a lot of noise and a lot of action, a lot of hype. Doesn't accomplish anything. Anyway, that's what he knows. That's what he thought to himself when he was watching these horses. And he looks around again. Comes back to his Zayda and says, no, do you have Gil Elio? He says, no. Who'd you see? I said, I see a human being in the street. It was so hot. What did you see? I saw a bunch of horses. What are the horses doing? They were tied up to the feeding trough. And what else happened? And there was one horse that was making a big clamor, a big ruckus. And I said to myself, this horse is wasting his time because the master's not about to feed yet. He's not interested in feeding. And I said to myself, the same thing with human beings. All the activity we do, all the hype you do to make money, doesn't make a difference. So Yitzchak of Skver said to his grandson, so you did have Gil Elio. He said, I didn't. There was nobody there. There was no one human being. No, he says, whenever a good new thought comes in your head, a chiddush comes in your head you never thought of before, that's Gil Elio. That's Gil Elio. When you decide to move from province to here, that was Gil Elio. You know that? Why'd you move? Someone told you to do it? No. It popped up in your brain. Where did it pop in your brain? It didn't come from itself. It came from Eliyahu Hanavi. And any time a new idea comes into your head, that's Eliyahu Hanavi. So that's what he told the boy. You had Gil Eliyahu. So you had Gil Eliyahu in your life. Anytime you have new insight or a new idea how to run your life well, some new plan, that's Gil Eliyahu. That is the explanation of the Maranayim, and that's what gives us the strength to go onward. Misha Mizbasa Yankif, that Hashem will be with him and guard him. So Nasa Liboyas Raglav, his heart carried his feet. His heart lifted up his feet. That's the avoid. The avoid is that our hearts should lift up our feet, and the heart is inspired when we hear new besuras from Eliyahu Navi. Okay, we'll stop here, everybody.